You're listening to WWBC Coco Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco Rockledge and W264AS Rockledge Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. This is your host for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today on this Monday. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Monday with me. We're tuning into God's frequency here today. WGOD, God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. He's going to have a lot of words here today for us. We're in the book of Revelation here on WGOD. We're spending a considerable amount of time looking at whom the Bible literally calls the false prophet. Now, he calls him the beast as we're in chapter 13. But when you get to chapter 19, there is no wondering anymore who this person is. Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, it says, "And the beast was taken, and with him," so catch it, is a person. Now it helps you connect the dots. Beast really does mean person, not a world system. Don't spiritualize the text overly that something that an antichrist is a world system. It's a person. Look, he's going to die right here. It's a person. "The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet who works signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image." These two, that's T-W-O, these two individuals, these two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. That's Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. Helps you to connect the dots. Hey, I thank you guys for joining us here today at WGOD. We're going through this little list I have here of 10 things concerning the false prophet. And we're in Revelation 13. We're going to move on with this here coming up. Later on in the week, you'll hear my sermon from Sunday, and that was in Romans chapter 6. And more on that later. Wednesday night, I invite you guys to church here, Island Community Church. We're in the last chapter of the book of Galatians, chapter 6, from 6 to 7 o'clock Wednesday night. You are invited. If you're new to the area, if you're looking for a new church home, if you're sick and tired that your church doesn't use a Bible and a Bible isn't required, then I would say that you'd prayerfully consider finding a church, any church, no matter what it may be, that sits under the Word of God, and that the Word of God is the central part to aid in your worship of God. That's why you're a church. You're there to worship. And while you're there, you want to hear His Word. So naturally, if you're not receiving that where you're going, then I would prayerfully ask you to consider finding another church somewhere that does do that. It doesn't have to be Island. It could be anywhere that's doing that. As long as you're hearing the Word of God, as long as God's speaking to you on Sunday morning when you go to church through His Word. Now, the false prophet, here's what the Lord Jesus says about the false prophet. He says, "Beware of them." Well, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So catch the deception there. Sheep's clothing. And then is inwardly. See, they're not who they appear to be on the outside. He says, "Inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits." Also, Matthew 24:24, where the Lord says, "False Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." That means even you could be deceived, because the signs that this person has been granted to do are unimaginable. You don't even have to imagine it, though. Just keep reading the Word of God here, Revelation chapter 13. So I'm working off a list here because I've preached this at church before. The false prophet. We're looking at a list of, or working off a list here of 10 things concerning the false prophet. Let's see how far we get today. Lord God, we praise you. Lord, we ask for your blessings here on everything that we do, everything that transpires here today. Fill us with revelation knowledge today. Speak to us where we know that you speak. Speak to us through your word. Grant us the wisdom and the insight and the discernment into your word and into understanding your word. Help us to understand so we can go and share this with our family and with others. Speak to us through your word and help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, 10 points. We're in Revelation chapter 13. Again, thanks for joining us here on WGOD, whether it's 6:30 a.m., 7:30 a.m., or on the 5:30 rebroadcast. If you missed Friday's program, I encourage you, go find that program. I called it the Super Duper. It's available on the podcast, the WGOD podcast. It's available on the on-demand, on the radio station. Download the app for the radio stations, WMIE or WWBC, and go to the on-demand, and you'll find that up there from Friday's program, Friday, November the 7th. You'll find that up there. It's program number 51 in our ongoing series here. Now, Revelation chapter 13, in verse 11. The Apostle John says, "Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon." So there's point number one on this list of 10. The false prophet is a counterfeit Christian. Two horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. A servant of God on the outside, evil seed on the inside. So certainly the people of God are still around. They're not gone yet. And this is the second half of the tribulation that this is going on here. Servant of God on the outside, evil seed on the inside. A sheep's clothing on the outside, yet a devouring, a ravenous, means hungry, famished, wolf on the inside. Remember, the Lord says that this demon is out here to steal, kill, and destroy. This is the third person in this satanic, unholy trinity, this false prophet. Again, back to the words of Jesus, Matthew 7:15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Look, you must leave room for deception here. This man deceives those that dwell on the earth. We're going to get to that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, the Apostle Paul, it says, "For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." So as the Lord said, you'll know them by their fruits. Hear me now. If you don't know your playbook, and of course your playbook is your Bible. If you don't know your playbook, if you do not know your playbook, then you will not recognize the false prophet. And we're here to fix that here today on the radio. We're going to fix this. If you don't know it, that's okay. We're going to fix this program. This is why I'm here with you today. We're going to fix this problem here. The Lord wants you to know this stuff. I believe we're perilously close to this kind of stuff happening. If not in our lives, if you guys have children or grandchildren, certainly in their lives. I mentioned in Friday's program, here's a good bedtime story to read to your kids. Revelation 13, verses 11 through 18. Memorize this text. This is why he's given us this information, so that you'll not be deceived when it happens. So if you don't know your playbook, you will not recognize the false prophet. If you see someone down here, a calling fire down out of heaven, that'll deceive billions of people. Not those who know the playbook, not those who know the word of God. So I ask you today on this Monday, how well do you know the playbook? This is why it's so important for you to go to a church that preaches the word of God. That's the central focus of what they do, is preach and teach the word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. We teach the New Testament of God here at our church, verse by verse. How well do you know the playbook, I ask you today? I mean, here you are. Let's say you're in the Super Bowl. It's 4th and 3, and you're on the opponent's 35-yard line. Jesus Christ, the head coach, calls an audible. And the Holy Bible is your playbook. How well do you know the playbook? Uh-oh. Here you are in the game. You don't even know the playbook. And the Lord Jesus, the coach, calls an audible. What do you do? Now, if you're new to the team, or if Jesus has traded his blood to purchase you for his team, Jesus won't hold this against you. Like any new player on a team, the coach will only call a couple plays that the new player already knows because of his grace. That's how he works. But the time is going to come when the head coach is going to expect you to know the playbook, or you'll ride the bench if you don't know the playbook, and the coach will then insert someone else who's more reliable, someone professional. It's a professional team, but you and I should be professional Christians. We're in the PCL, you and me. That's the Professional Christian League. How well do you know the playbook? You will know the counterfeit by their fruit, by their works. Say a man appears on the 5 o'clock news and says he's Jesus and that he's returned. The newsman asks him how he got here and when. And then Jesus' imposter would say, well, he arrived on the 310, actually the 310 from Yuma. Now, if you fall for that, friend, I'll hold my tongue. No, I won't. If you fall for that, you're a fool. You're a fool if you fall for that. If you see someone on the news and says he's Jesus. Whereas for the child of God, when he hears that, because he knows the playbook, the alarm goes off. Danger, danger. Or at least it should. It better go off when you hear that, because you know the playbook. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even you. Don't you get what the word deceive means? Those who don't spend time in the Word of God and who are not intimate with the Lord through spending time with Him in His Word will hear that remark about Amtrak someday and say, cool, Jesus just come back on the 310 train. Remember, lying wonders. Hook, line, and sinker, this man is going to deceive billions out here in the world by lying wonders. Something is not what it appears to be. And those who know their God, the buzzers and alarms will go off, and you'll hear in your spirit, behold, he's coming with the clouds. And every eye will see him. The Holy Spirit speaks word. That's his language. The Holy Spirit speaks word to you. That's his language. He may also say to you, Matthew 24:27, as lightning comes out of the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Or if two is not enough, the Holy Spirit speaks word. Maybe he'll speak Acts 1:11 to you. The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go. So know the word of God and you won't be deceived. And if you don't know the word of God, then let's fix that today. That's why we're here. We're here to fix this. I encourage you, Get to a church that preaches and teaches the Word of God. It's important. Now, back to this text here, and back to verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he causes the earth and those that dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So there's point number two. Remember, point number one on a list of 10. Point number one, the false prophet is a counterfeit Christian. Point number two now. The false prophet demands worship. He demands worship. It's right here in verse 12, Revelation 13, 12. He causes the earth and those that dwell in it to worship the first beast. Remember, the first beast is the Antichrist. We've looked at him before. Revelation chapter 19, verse 20 calls him a man. Revelation 19, verse 20 says he's going to die like a man. He's going to be thrown in the lake of fire like a man. He's going to die like a man. He's a man. The Bible says that these two men will be cast into the lake of fire. He's going to die like a man. So the first beast is the Antichrist. The false prophet is going to cause everyone here in the world to worship him. So that's point number two. The false prophet demands worship. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, which we looked at here last week, speaking of this Antichrist, Revelation 13, 8, it says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Wow. Everyone that dwells on the earth. All of the scoffers, agnostics, those who call themselves atheists, there's no such thing as an atheist. All those who say religion is a crutch for weak people. All of the ho-hum unbelievers don't have time. Everyone on the earth is going to worship him because you can't buy or sell without doing that. And Satan's got everyone else pegged out here in the world. He says, all that a man has, he will give for his life. Verse 13, he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So, whoa, catch that miracle there. He makes fire come down from heaven onto the earth. Then it says, in the sight of men. In Greek, that is before men. He's doing this right before all the people. Everyone can see it. Must be on CNN. This guy could point to the Bible, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, and say, look, see, this is me. He could use the Bible to deceive people. Where there it says, where God says, it's the last recorded words in the Old Testament. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and the coming day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children back to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. This man could do that. Remember, he deceives those that dwell on the earth. And then to prove that he's Elijah is right here. He makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So point number three on the list, unprecedented deception. Not since the days of Elijah has this happened. We read in Luke chapter 9 that James and John wanted to call fire down to burn up all the evil Samaritan, but Jesus wouldn't let them. This will be a time of unprecedented deception, the likes of which this old world has never seen. Verse 14 goes along with this. Let me read to you verse 14 out of my Bible translation. It reads a little different because it's called a majority text Bible. It's a Bible that finds its origins in the majority of all the Greek manuscripts. Verse 14, John speaking. He deceives my own people who dwell on the earth. by the signs which were given to him to do before the beast, saying to those that dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and came to life. Now, most translations read, he deceives those that dwell on the earth. My translation says, he deceives my own people that dwell on the earth. So if the correct reading is, he deceives those who dwell on the earth, then to me, he's talking about unbelievers. However, if my translation is right, if you have a New King James Bible, you'll see that in your footnote right there. You'll see a capital M. It says, my own people. But if that translation is right, then everything changes. Who's John talking about? John says he deceives my own people who dwell on the earth. Who is he talking about when he says my own people? Christians or those that don't know the playbook? Those that don't know the playbook. Those that don't know the word of God. So that's number three. Number one, he's a counterfeit Christian. Point number two, he demands worship. Point number three, unprecedented deception. Point number four, the false prophet is very powerful. That's verse 15 out of the King James Version. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, other translations read breath. He had the power to give breath. Breath instead of life. The Greek word is pneuma. Take your pick. Pneuma and spirit. Pneuma is a proper name for the Holy Spirit. Hagios pneuma. So take your pick. However, whichever translators are right. Breath, life. What image do you get of someone kneeling over someone, pinching their nose, and breathing into them the breath of life? It's right out of Genesis and God and Adam. See, this is why Jesus says, better watch out. Lying wonders, like the Apostle Paul said, power, signs, and lying wonders. Look at what this man does. He performs great signs. He makes fire come down out of heaven. He deceives my own people that dwell on the earth by the signs. So, point number four, he's very powerful. He has the power to give life. Could you imagine that? What a time to be alive. The false prophet is going to be able to give, whether it's life or breath, what the word pneuma can mean, breath, spirit, life, certainly giving life to this thing or life through breath or spirit. I can see why the King James Version, I like that translation best of all. He had the power to give life to the image. Now, the image is an icon. Remember, an icon. Image means icon. It's an exact representation of an original. So he's got the power to give life, or he's got the power to give breath to the icon of the beast, so that the icon should speak and cause as many as would not worship the icon of the beast to be killed. So, more on that here coming up, maybe in tomorrow's program. But let's stop and look at this image, the image of the beast. They worship, the Bible says here, they worship the image. Icon. Probably a word I've done more study on than any other word in the Greek language. Icon, which is a scary thought in its own right. Why God had me camped out here for 20 years studying the origins of this word. An icon. And we'll close Monday's program with this. We'll meditate on this a little. The image of the beast. Icon. An icon is an exact copy of an original. Sort of like the reflection of the sun on the water is the icon. Jesus himself is the icon of God. literally, book, chapter, and verse, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. It said he is the icon of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Jesus is the icon of the Father. He is the exact representation of God the Father, is God the Son. He is the express image of his person. Jesus Christ is the icon of God the Father. So the icon of the beast, likewise, is related to the Antichrist. As Jesus is related to the Father, as John F. Kennedy is related to the 50-cent piece, and Dwight Eisenhower on the silver dollar, the icon is the exact representation of this Antichrist. He's never an original. He's a copy of an original. Another example I could think of, when the Lord Jesus asked for a coin to be brought to him, remember what he said? He said, whose icon and inscription is this? And what did they say? Caesar's. That's what this word icon means. You know what? We'll have to pick it up right here. What an exciting study here. We're looking at 10 things. 10 things for you to sock away on your Bible on who the false prophet is. Number one, he's a counterfeit Christian. Number two, he's going to demand worship. Number three, number three is unprecedented deception on the world. Number four, he's very, very powerful. When we get to number five on Tuesday's program, we're going to see, I believe, he's going to call himself Elijah. Elijah the prophet. That'll be point number five in our next program. You're listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
New Beginnings Funeral Home alerts listeners that 22 veterans take their lives every day. Let's uplift our veterans by assuring them that recovery is possible. If you know a veteran struggling, please call for help or emergency services on the double. That's from New Beginnings Funeral Home at 1826 North University Drive in Pembroke Pines. In times of sorrow, rely on New Beginnings Funeral Home. Call 954-998-4714 or visit nbfuneral.com. Thank you.